Good morning and welcome. In 1988, Greg Boyle began engaging the gangs of East Los Angeles with the gospel. Every day, he went into the danger zone to connect with young men and women who have long arrests and prison records. He shared the good news of Jesus with them and called them to break with the wicked life they've known and trust Christ for salvation. The message was simple and real. You can have a future or a funeral. Well over 1,500 ex-gang members have trusted Jesus Christ and taken steps in a new direction with Greg's guidance. They learn a new language. They buy new clothes and learn how to make an honest day's wage. They leave the gang, and not because Boyle waters down the gospel. He makes it plain that Jesus is calling them to break all the destructive, sin-inducing ties to their former life. The Bible says that a true Christian undergoes a metamorphosis, a change of nature that imprints Christ-like character on your inner being. The speed of the overhaul, which is called sanctification, varies from person to person, but the inward change shows itself in your behavior on the outside. The evidence that we are truly born again is demonstrated in the most obvious and irrefutable way. What we do and what we don't do. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33 and the last part of verse 34. Either make a tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I can hide my identity for a while, but eventually I will let out what's on the inside. Do you know Jesus? Have you come to that place in your life where you realize you're a sinner and you deserve God's punishment, but you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. God, in the face of our sin, knowing that we deserve his punishment, chose to give us eternal life. And it says, by Jesus Christ. Well, why would God do that? Why would he, when we deserve punishment and eternity apart from him in hell for our sin, why would he give us eternal life? Well, because he loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ went to the cross and died for you and me. We need to believe that he died for us. We need to believe that he died and he rose again from the dead. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. Then all that's necessary is to reach out and ask him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Well, there's an entire book of the Bible which proclaims that if you are truly a believer, it will show in your behavior. First John records evidence or proofs a person is born again. For example, 1 John 2:3. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. 1 John 2:5, the second part of verse 5 and verse 6. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. 1 John 3:9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. As Christians, there is a need to be changed from the inside out. To consider that change, would you join me in your Bible at Ephesians 4:17. We're going to look down to verse 24. The inner power of grace produces lasting life change. How do we plug into that power? Well, let's walk through our text in Ephesians 4 and see four principles for change. First, keep your eye on the target. Ephesians 4:17-20. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Paul clearly tells us here what the target is. Christ likeness. That's the target. And he's pretty blunt about it. You should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And that word Gentiles refers to the unbelieving, lost world. He's saying that as a Christian, your life should no longer resemble those who are still in their sin without God. Verses 18 and 19 describe clearly what unbelievers look like. Let's read them again, just kind of slowly, so that we can see the emphasis on them. Having their understanding darkened. They can't even see clearly. Being alienated from the life of God. They're just not even in the same place. Because of the ignorance that's in them. Just the lack of any kind of knowledge. Because of the blindness of their heart. Their heart's been covered over. They can't even see and sense what's right. Who, being past feeling, their hearts, their mind are seared, have given themselves over to lewdness, to just sexual wickedness, with a continual desire for more, all uncleanness with greediness. Paul then proclaims, to work all uncleanness with greediness. What a picture the apostle paints there. It reveals an inability to perceive and respond to the truth. Without God, our thinking is of no real value. The futility of their mind. We live to satisfy our flesh, lewdness, with a continual desire for more. All uncleanness with greediness. And then Paul then proclaims, that's not the way you learn Christ. That represents the lost world, but you have professed Christ, and that's not how you learned him. Keep your eye on the target. Becoming like Jesus is your personal calling. It's your purpose for breathing. It's your reason for living. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And everything else is secondary. Second, cut ties with your former life. Verses 21 and 22. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The phrase put off describes a decisive action, not a gradual process. It's not negotiation. It is the end. The verb literally means to strip off, the same way you would take off clothing that's filthy. What is removed and laid aside is the old man, the you that you were before Jesus Christ saved you. Do you hear me? What is removed and laid aside is the old man, that you were before Jesus Christ saved you. Paul is saying to get rid of those old ways of meeting your needs, those old habits that marked your former life. Throw that life away. Cut the root. Don't go to those websites anymore. Throw away those magazines and don't buy anymore. Don't hang out with those people that keep you doing things you know are wrong. The old ways are dead to you. They're dead to you now. So get rid of every trace. One of the greatest theologians in the history of Christianity is Augustine, who was saved out of a completely immoral lifestyle. Before his conversion, he had a mistress named Claudia. Shortly after he found Christ, Claudia saw him on the street in the city. "Augustine, Augustine," she cried out after her old lover. Augustine paid no attention. "Augustine, Augustine," she cried out again. "Is Claudia?" Augustine replied, "But it is no longer Augustine." And he kept walking away. That's what Paul is talking about. Remember those gang members who were rescued by Jesus in Los Angeles? Greg Boyle told them that the gang tattoos had to go. And why? Gang tattoos linked them to a past that no longer defines them and can put them in danger on the streets. So he created a free service with local doctors to remove them, thereby scrubbing their bodies of the last remaining marks of their rebel past. It's not an easy procedure. Many of those tough former gang members said it felt like hot grease being poured on their skin. But they endured the pain to identify with Jesus Christ. It may cause pain to break ties with old friends that are ruining your faith. It may bother you to stop doing some things that give you temporary pleasure. If you're to have lasting life change, there can be no double life, no standing on the fence. Decide now to cut ties that link you to things that are not Christ-like. And then third, change your way of thinking. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This statement is in the present tense. That means it's an ongoing and increasing change in the capacity of your mind to spiritually discern options and decisions in life. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind means a completely new way of thinking. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing your mind. The imagery there is of like an old cassette tape that has something recorded on it. You want to take that tape and you want to replace that with something else, so you record over it. Well, we have these minds that are conformed to this world. In a new life in Christ, they need to be renewed, essentially recorded over by the Word of God, by the truth, that we may be able to understand, that we may be able to think from God's perspective, we may be able to understand what the truth is and apply it to our lives, and no longer be controlled by that conformity to the world. Mind renewal activates a kind of early warning system, a spiritual filter which can stop the temptations which used to fly under the radar and get you. How does this work? Well, Psalm 119 and verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I need to memorize God's word, and then I need to meditate on it. I need to memorize it so that I can bring it back up and quote it and recite it from memory. And then I need to meditate on it. What's meditating? Well, it's to think about. I've memorized it, so I don't need to look at the Bible all day long in order to know what it says. No, I have it in my heart. I have it in my mind. And I can think about it as I go about my daily business. That's meditating. Writer Leroy Imes wrote of how God's word worked in his life. He said, as a new Christian, he was reading Colossians 3:8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Leroy said, I tried to slide past it, but he kept bringing me back to the words, get rid of anger. I had a violent temper, and whenever it flared, I'd haul up and bash my fist into the nearest door. Even though I often bloodied my knuckles and once completely smashed a beautiful diamond and onyx ring my wife had given me, I couldn't seem to stop. Yet, here was God's word. Get rid of anger. So I made a covenant with God. I promised him I was going to work on it. My first step was to memorize the verse and review it daily. I prayed and asked the Lord to bring this verse to mind whenever I was tempted to lose my temper. I asked my wife to pray for me and remind me of this verse if she saw me failing in my promise. And let me tell you, having his wife ready to remind him, you know she's going to do that. Colossians 3:8 became a part of my life and gradually removed that sin from me. Keep your eye on the target. Cut ties with your former life. Change your way of thinking. And then fourth, put on the new you. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Back in verse 22, we were urged to get rid of the clothes of the former way of life. Now the Holy Spirit instructs us to put on something brand new, something made by God Himself, the likeness of Jesus Christ, righteousness and holiness Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Christ's life that should be obvious in how you do your job, how you treat your spouse, how you live out being single, how you parent your children, how you respond, what you think, even how you feel will find its focus in your relationship with Jesus. This is who you are from now on. Your identity, your new nature. Someone wrote, that means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that relate to that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time into God's way of doing things. You've been raised from the dead. Sin can't tell you how to live. You're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. One day, it will be over. You'll be like him because you will see him in glory as he is. Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham Bell, saw a sign along a strip of highway that she wanted carved into her gravestone. It read, "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." Amen. In the meantime, the work in progress needs intentional focus on the target of becoming like Jesus. And that means stripping away this world from your life, having your mind renewed by God's word, and purposefully living out your new identity in Christ. If you profess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, let me call you to make a commitment to live according to that new identity. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth here that we are called to have a focus on Jesus Christ and make that our target to become like him. That we need to strip off that old life and we need to change the way we think and we need to put on the new man which has been created in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would do business with your people. And Father, I pray that you would touch the hearts of those who don't have a relationship with you. Anyone who's watching or listening to this message, Lord, that you would speak to their heart, that you would give them conviction for their sin, that you would give them an awareness of the penalty of their sin, an eternity apart from you in hell, and that you would open their eyes to the truth that Jesus Christ died for their sin, and that they would confess you, believing that Jesus was raised from the dead, and he can raise any one of us from the dead for eternal life. And Father, I pray that you would bring them to the place of reaching out and asking for forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. Father, for your glory, for your praise, do business with those who are watching or listening to this message. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 You have a great day.